news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson. Thanks for joining us. Well, let's get started with a look around at a few opportunities that are available for members. First, the American Farm Bureau Federation is holding their annual meeting in Austin, Texas. That's this month, January 17th through the 22nd. There's a special free event for FFA and 4-H members that'll take place on Sunday, January 19th. Members are also welcome at events on the 18th and the 20th as well. For more information, just head to fb.org and search for FFA Student Experience. And the organization is also excited to announce that the spring semester-long Living to Serve grant application is now open and available in both English and Spanish. Middle and high school chapters can apply for up to $1,200 to help support a semester-long service learning project that, of course, does address community needs in the areas of community safety, hunger, health and nutrition, environmental responsibility, or community engagement. To access that application, just go online to ffa.org/livingtoserve/grants. Now, those applications are due by February 3rd. And if you have any questions, contact your local engagement team at lts@ffa.org. And finally, did your FFA chapter complete a service project over the holidays? Well, be sure to share your impacts as part of the Living to Serve Chapter Challenge to help FFA complete 930,000 volunteer hours by the 93rd National FFA Convention and Expo. You can just go online to ffa.org/challenge-accepted to log service hours and upload a few photos as well. The first Monday of each month, the National FFA will host a Facebook Live event and draw two chapters to receive exclusive Living to Serve Chapter Challenge t-shirts, as well as highlighting projects to inspire others to serve. Well, now we head to the Volunteer State, where the Middle Tennessee FFA is kicking off a new year with a service project which embodies the FFA motto's closing line of Living to Serve.
Service is defined as the act of giving or helping somebody in need. In FFA, we are taught to use our leadership skills to better serve those around us. And that's why this year, the Middle Tennessee Regional Officer Team has developed a service plan that would impact the lives of those who have been there for us and for those that may not be as fortunate as others.
This year, we have decided to create 2 months to give. This entails Middle Tennessee FFA members to spend the months of January and February giving to two organizations we feel has impacted our lives as FFA members.
The Salvation Army is an organization that dedicates their service to helping our veterans. We chose this charity because we hope to give back to those who fought for our freedom. We'll be collecting items for this charity during the month of January. Anyone who would like to donate can donate new paper products and cleaning items. These items can include paper towels, shampoo, conditioner, toiletry items, and other non-perishables.
The other organization to which we have decided to donate is Bookum. Bookum's mission is to bring children and books together. As agriculturalists, we find it vital to spread literacy. That's why we chose Bookum. During the month of February, you can help participate in this region-wide book drive by donating new or like-new books to this charity. Your donations can include any books for ages 0 to 18.
Our goal is for all of the chapters throughout Middle Tennessee to help us give to others. We hope to collect 300 books for the Bookum organization and 500 items for the Salvation Army. We are so excited to see all of the wonderful things that Middle Tennessee will accomplish, and we can't wait to reach this goal with all of the amazing Middle Tennessee FFA members.
Now that you know what 2 months to give is, all we need is your help. We ask that students and chapters will help us in our mission to serve others. Anyone who may wish to ask questions or comments can contact us through Instagram Messenger, asking a regional officer or your advisor, or you can email us at midtnffa@gmail.com.
Now, again, if you have any questions or if you would like to help, email midtnffa, that's midtnffa@gmail.com. And now to Pennsylvania. That's where the Mifflinburg FFA is expressing gratitude to all of those who have helped them get their brand new tractor restoration project off the ground.
This is our first year entering the Farm Show Tractor Restoration Competition. We wouldn't have been able to do this without the support and donation from Barry Delcamp in allowing us to restore his 1955 John Deere 60.
The John Deere 60 was originally produced to replace the John Deere A. As one of the first numbered series, produced in the John Deere factories. This time period was an important aspect of evolution for John Deere, as the post-war period was a defining moment for many American companies. Our John Deere 60 is rated at 37 horsepower and seen as a midsize of all other models offered. The Model 60 was one of the last tractors produced during this time period, which was later replaced by 4- and 6-cylinder machines. Barry Delcamp bought our Model 60 at a local auction known as a Hoover sale.
Hi, I'm Michaela Lohr, a junior at Mifflinburg Area High School. I got involved with the tractor restoration by being in the independent agricultural class. As seeing that I needed a project, when this opportunity came around, I volunteered, since I have experience restoring tractors with my father. Through this process, I learned how to properly work on all body parts of the tractor.
My name is Ethan Houck. I'm a sophomore at Mifflinburg Area High School. I got involved with this restoration by Mr. Armstrong requesting my assistance. Through this restoration, I learned how to properly paint a tractor.
Hi, I'm Kayla Strickland, a junior at Mifflinburg Area High School. I got involved with a tractor by Mr. Armstrong asking me to help. Through this, I've learned how to properly prepare parts for painting and how a tractor's engine works.
We started the restoration process by disassembling the body panels along with other easily removable parts to be sandblasted, cleaned, and painted. Once these parts were removed, some of us focused on these and others focused on cleaning up the frame and core part of the tractor. Because the frame was heavily rusted and covered with a lot of old grease, this was the most time-consuming part of the project. We received technical assistance from the owner of the tractor, Barry Delcamp, and Luke Armstrong from Zimmerman's Body Supplies with the painting process. After the painting process, it was time for reassembly, which required great attention to detail and a lot of patience.
The Mifflinburg FFA gives a special thanks to Barry Delcamp of Red Bank Welding and Luke Armstrong of Zimmerman's Body Supplies for the donation of paint and assistance as we completed our tractor.
Well, it certainly sounds like a popular project, which hopefully will become a mainstay for the program. Well, stay tuned. We'll get an in-depth look at the path to becoming a member of the National FFA Choir. That's next, right here on Rural Radio 147. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. And now we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckbald, who introduces us to Olivia Moore, a Kentucky FFA chapter officer with insider expertise on what it takes to make the cut as a member of the National FFA course.
Joining me today is Olivia Moore, and she is coming to us from Western Hills High School in Frankfort, Kentucky, where she's serving as our chapter's vice president. Been eager to speak with her, and I finally get to today. Olivia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
You bet. It's a pleasure to finally get to talk with you. Now, how long have you been part of the FFA?
I have been a part of the FFA since my freshman year in high school.
Okay. And what brought you into the group? Why did you want to join?
My family has been involved in FFA for many generations. So my grandpa was actually an advisor for an FFA chapter, and he was an ag teacher.
Okay.
And then both of my parents met through FFA, and they went on to be advisors themselves after being state officers. And now my sister, she went through FFA herself. She is now at University of Kentucky studying to be an ag educator. And I just figured if my whole family has done this, I feel like I should at least give it a shot.
Wow. You have got, I will tell you, you've got one of the deeper family legacies in FFA of anybody I've interviewed. And I've interviewed probably over 500 FFA students.
Yes. And it's so cool to just hear about the agriculture industry as it has gone through each of their generations. It's a really cool thing to learn about and be a part of, for sure.
Very cool. Well, that is great. Now, so you're coming along and you're looking at all these people that have preceded you and you're like, okay, I'm joining this organization. But here you are, you're serving as a junior, you're your chapter's vice president. So it sounds to me like you're making your own mark on the FFA as well.
I'm doing my very best to just take advantage of every opportunity that is presented to me through this organization, because there are truly so many different things that you can do as a student and a member of FFA. So I've really just loved being able to take advantage of all the opportunities presented in front of me and try to make the most of them.
What made you decide to become an officer, to, you know, kind of go to that next level?
I began my freshman year. Obviously, my sister, she was a senior when I was a freshman. So my freshman year, she would drag me around to all of the events and try to get me involved in things. And I really started noticing that I felt like I had a place in FFA. And with that, I knew that I wanted to start taking on leadership roles in the organization so that I could help make that impact for other members as well and help to pull them in as my sister had done for me. So last year, I served as the leadership committee chairman, and that gave me the opportunity to kind of plan different events and help get members engaged. And after last year, I knew that being an officer would help me to not only help members, but also help to guide the upcoming leaders for the chapter. And I think that's a really cool thing to watch and be a part of.
Yeah, very cool. Good for you. Now, you mentioned all the different opportunities and things that are available to you through the FFA. I mean, there's things like your career development events, of course, your supervised agricultural experience. There's speaking, there's parliamentary procedure. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Has there been any one particular opportunity that's kind of stood out to you as you've gone through these last 3 years?
Absolutely. Well, I have a couple, but my number one that has been my absolute favorite was the National FFA Chorus. I did that my first year at last year's National Convention. And the reason I actually got pulled into it was because my mom was in the National Choir herself. So she was telling me all about it. And she said, hey, this would be a great opportunity for you to at least just audition and see if you get in. So I went ahead and I auditioned for it. And sure enough, I got in and I had no idea what to expect. I was actually so scared going into it last year because I was the only person from Kentucky that I knew of going in.
Yeah.
And I was going to be in Indianapolis for a week with a bunch of strangers at the time, which seemed so crazy and scary to me. But after getting involved in having that opportunity, it broke me out of my shell so much. And that was one of the opportunities that has, I feel, impacted me the most. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough to go back this past convention just about a month ago. And that has by far been the most memorable and incredible experience ever.
Very cool. So I'm sure that group of people started out as strangers, probably wound up as friends, right?
Yes, best friends.
Very cool. So can you remember a time when you weren't singing? Like, is there a moment in time you can point to and go, this is when I started singing? Or has it just always been that way?
It has always been that way. When I was little, I would make up little songs. And when we were going on car rides to family vacations, I would be singing in the car. There were videos of me. It's something that I've always been surrounded by music. And I think that's part of why I've got that passion today, too.
That is great. So when is the first time you did something organized when it came to singing, whether it be singing by yourself or in a choir, in another group? When did that first begin for you?
That really began my fifth grade year. I was accepted into the Kentucky Children's Chorus, which is an all-state chorus that which you audition for. Mm-hmm. And they take a select number of fifth and sixth graders for that particular choir. So that was the first real choir experience that I had and first real experience I've had to really grow my music knowledge. And that's a very defining point for me because from there, I've just been able to really grow and expand upon my music knowledge, which has been really cool for me.
That is. So for you, auditioning is something that you've done before. It's not like when you auditioned for the FFA choir, this was not the first time auditioning for you.
No, it was definitely not. But I feel like every audition that I do is still a little bit nerve-wracking because you never know what the outcome is going to be.
Sure.
But I feel like the more that I do it, the more confident I become in my abilities. And that's something that is really important, I think, just in growth processes.
Well, tell me about the audition for the FFA choir. So where did it take place? How many people were auditioning? What did you have to do? All that type of stuff.
Yes. So it's actually a pre-recorded audition. So that's kind of nice because it takes a little bit of the stress off. Okay. But you can get on to FFA.org and there's a spot where you can go to see all the guidelines and things like that to fill out an application for it. So you fill out the first application part of it and kind of give some of your music background and what all you've been doing with music up until this point. And then for the actual audition, you have to do a 2-octave scale. And then along with that, you sing America the Beautiful. And then if you want to, you can put an additional piece at the end just to kind of showcase this type of music that you like to sing and that sort of thing.
Wow. And so what did you do at the end? What extra did you give them?
So this past year, I did Welcome to the 60s from Hairspray.
Okay.
And the year before that, I did Choo Choo Chaboogie, which is kind of like an older jazzy style piece, but both are really fun and upbeat. And I felt like that was just something that would stand out to them and kind of be uplifting. And it's fun for me as well.
So how many members of the FFA choir are there?
There are about 80 members every year.
80. Wow. That is really cool. And how many people audition every year?
They don't actually give us an exact number on that, but I know there are hundreds, if not thousands, from across the nation who apply for it each year.
No kidding. And so once you become a member of the National FFA Choir, then how does that affect your life? You've got to be traveling if you're all going to sing together.
So we only perform at national conventions. So the first time we come together is the Saturday before convention starts. So we get up there about half a week earlier than everybody else.
Okay.
You don't have a clue who you're rooming with or who all is going to be in the choir. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I didn't know anyone who was going to be there going into it my first year. So showing up at the first rehearsal and meeting my roommates was a crazy experience to me just because I was surrounded by no one who I knew, but it also pushed me that much harder to break out of my comfort zone and meet so mm-hmm. many new people.
So if the first time you ever get together with the whole group is at national convention, then what are the expectations for you in terms of what you're doing to practice, to rehearse, and all those things during the rest of the year?
Right. So after you are accepted in, they send the music out about 3 weeks or a month in advance, and they also provide recording tracks with the different parts picked out on them. Mm-hmm. But you are expected to come in on the first day with your music, with all of the notes figured out. Like, you have to know the notes, you have to know the songs mm-hmm. going into the first rehearsal so that we can get down the choreography that we have to go along with it, as well as just kind of putting everything together, because it takes some work to get all 80 voices on the same page and just making it all perfect for convention week.
Now, are there any solos during this performance, or is everybody doing it as part of the group all the time?
There are solos. So not every song has a solo, but there are several out of the selection that we have. And I was actually fortunate enough, I decided both years that I was going to audition for a solo uh-huh. and take advantage of that opportunity since it was there. And I figured, hey, if I get to do this, why don't I go ahead and make the most of every opportunity that's here? So I auditioned for a solo both years, and I was fortunate enough to get a solo both years as well, which was a really incredible opportunity. It is a surreal experience, to say the least. I would say it really hits you once you get in there for your sound check day, which is before everyone is there and all the craziness is going on, but mm-hmm. you get to see the magnitude of the space that you are going to be singing in. And although we're just 80 people up on stage, we have the responsibility of filling this entire arena, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But then thinking about a solo as well, it made me nervous, but I wouldn't say that it was a scared nervous. It was an excited nervous
sure.
because I was supported by all these incredible friends that I've been making throughout the week with my choir right behind me. And then I've got people from my chapter, my state, all across the audience as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a really neat experience, and it's something that I've absolutely loved to do. I love performing, and it's been a great opportunity for me.
That is great. So will you be auditioning to be on the choir for your senior year as well?
I wish I could. Unfortunately, you can only do it for 2 years.
Very cool. Well, that is a fun part of this interview. This is the first time I've really learned about how the choir works. I've known it exists, but I haven't known mm-hmm. the details and the specifics. It's really interesting how it all comes together.
For sure. It's a really cool thing to be a part of, and kind of seeing everything from behind the scenes is something that I really loved having the opportunity of doing. And it's something that a lot of people really don't know about. So I love sharing that experience with people as well.
That is great. Okay. And then what's next for you? What mm-hmm. does life look like for you after high school?
I know that I want to go to college, and I will likely stay in state to do that. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm trying to figure out exactly what I want to major in, but currently, I'm thinking about either agribusiness, ag communications, or else ag education.
Okay.
Ultimately, I'm not exactly sure what I want to do as far as the profession goes, but I know that I want to be some kind of educator in the ag industry for people, whether that be students or just society on a whole, because I feel like there's a lot that goes unsaid in the ag industry. And I want to help expand and grow people's knowledge because it is such an important part of our world.
Well, Olivia, this has been a very exciting interview. You've already done so many incredible things. You've got an unbelievably bright future ahead of you.
Well, thank you so much. It's such an honor to do things like this and be able to share what all I've been doing.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you coming on today. Glad we got to speak and really enjoyed the discussion.
A great interview as always, Matt. Thanks for sharing with us. Well, don't go anywhere. We're off to the Sooner State straight ahead on FFA Today. Welcome back to the show. And as we all know, the FFA organization is so much more than just an educational program. Students think of it as one big family full of friends that lift each other up and also support one another. That's just one of the things that Oklahoma member Trey Smith loves about the organization.
I'm Trey Smith, and this is my Oklahoma FFA story. My cousins showed hogs in Wynnewood, Oklahoma, and that made me want to show hogs, and I waited and waited and waited until I could show. The pig is just a symbol of responsibility. It shows that you have to wake up in the morning, feed, clean pens, go to work, come back, walk your pig, all these things, and it's just showing that there's more to life than just yourself. Once it progressed on, I learned that it's more than just showing livestock, and it's way more about leadership and community involvement, and that's what I loved about ag, and that's how I ended up in room 412. We all come from different walks of life, and we're here to just learn about ag, something that a lot of people do not know about. We're here to learn about and to tell the world and show our communities that ag is a very important industry. And if we don't have ag, we don't have food. So we have to learn to acknowledge and support our farmers. A lot of kids in the urban settings do not know much about agriculture. So we need those schools in the city limits. Sand Springs is pretty much Tulsa. We need those schools to know where your food comes from, how hard people work to make everything work in the grocery stores. All that is very important. And I love being able to have the opportunity to have ag in urban schools. FFA has taught me so many life lessons, communication, responsibility, loyalty, all these things I've learned in my blue jacket. And I feel like those lessons are what you need in anything in life, whether that's the workplace, family, anything. I can say I truly have family through all of Oklahoma that wears corduroy. So for the kid that's first year, kind of shy, sitting in the back, by their time, when their time comes as a senior, you'll have friends from Diamond to Ada, just friends everywhere. And that's something I cherish so much about the FFA, is everyone is here to be your friend and to love on one another. And we're all here for the same goal, and that is agriculture. The blue jacket means so much to me. It means memories and many friends and many show rings that I'll never forget. It's a whole different person comes on, and it's a person of just happiness the whole time I'm in the jacket.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. You can shoot us an email at ffatoday@ffa.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.